that gives you something to shout about, won't it? Amen. As one man said, if they don't light your fire, your wood's wet. The Lord is good, and I am looking forward to the day we get to see Christ again. Amen? Before the day for the mansion and streets of gold, what a day that will be. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I really was wanting to go a different direction this morning and lighted upon this. Romans chapter 1. Very familiar passage to most of you. Verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your love, and we thank You today for the blessings that You've so richly given us. We ask this morning as we look at this verse, as we emphasize the importance of our testimony and not being ashamed of You, I do pray this morning we would live for You in a greater way. God, just give us that courage that only Your Spirit can give us. Lord, what a blessing it is to be a child of God. What a blessing it is to be a part of Your family. I pray this morning that each of us would be proud to be called a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you ever done something you're ashamed of? I think all of us could look back in our lives and find something that we would say we're ashamed of. Or maybe you have a family member you're ashamed of. You know, a child, or I'm kidding now, you know, one of them heathen kids, or some hillbilly relatives you have that, you know, or mom, pa, kettle, or something like that, you know. All I was allowed to do when I was growing up was watch old movies and old, you know, sitcoms. So, you know, the Beverly Hillbillies and Mom, Pa, Kettle, all those, anyway. All of us have maybe individuals we're ashamed of, and on a serious note, maybe someone in prison, or whatever the case is, each one of us could probably find someone that we're ashamed of. All of us have been in situations in which we were ashamed to have been in. And in fact, I can remember many times walking through the mall with my mom and my dad, especially my mom, and her being ashamed of us and the situation we put her in. Walking down the mall being idiots, you know. The big Sac Center Mall in Wichita Falls. It's a huge, huge place if you've ever been there. All of us have been in situations where, again, we were ashamed and we were reluctant, when we were prideful and fearful of ridicule from others. But can I tell you, we shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have too many today who are silent Christians. Oh, they'll tell you, if you ask them, you knock on their door, if you go and ask them at work or your neighbor, and they'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved," but yet their lives and their actions do not match up to their words. We ought to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, Jesus, the Bible says, and we ought to, again, follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. We ought to not be ashamed to be counted as a believer. We ought to be counted a blessing and a wonderful blessing to be a believer, a child of the King. We should be ashamed to be a part of the family of God. Oh, you may be ashamed maybe of some of your upbringing, or ashamed of someone in your family, or ashamed of whatever it may be, but we shouldn't be ashamed of our family and being a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus. But I'm so glad I'm a part of His family. I'm not ashamed of being a part of the family of God. Paul was not ashamed of who he was and what he taught concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, as Paul's writing in Romans and also Philippians and these other scriptures, he's writing from prison. Imagine that now. In prison, Philippians chapter 1, he says, nothing I shall be ashamed. He says, whether I die or whether I live, whether I'm bond, whether I'm free, whether I'm in prison or whether I'm not, I won't be ashamed of what Christ has done for me. He said it there in Philippians chapter 1, I want God to be glorified. I want God to be glorified in my body. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be edified and built up by way of my testimony and my life. here on earth. I want to be counted a Christian. I want to be counted a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. The word ashamed simply means refusing or reluctant to do something through pride or fear of ridicule. Just simply means you're afraid of somebody ridiculing you. You're ashamed, therefore you don't say anything, you don't do a certain thing because you don't want to be ridiculed. I mean, it could be in the office and when you have a great idea, but you don't want to say it because you're afraid someone will make fun of you, or you think maybe you have a stupid question, but it's really not stupid, but you're afraid or you're ashamed that you might be ridiculed, the fear sets in. As Christians, sometimes we can be ashamed. We can fear what others may say about us, or we may fear what others may do to us if we live a life, or if we claim, or if we insist on being a Christian, being a child of the King. Fear of ridicule. You ever had somebody say, shame on you? You know, my parents every once in a while, shame on you. Shame on you. Well, I kind of tell you this morning, if you're not counted a privilege, if you don't count it a privilege to be a child of the King, if you don't count it a privilege and just an awesome thing to be a part of the Savior and a part of who He is and what He's done for us, shame on you. Shame on you. We ought to count it worthy to be counted a Christian and not be ashamed of it, not being ashamed. Listen, we ought to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by that, I mean the Bible speaking of here is we ought to be a testimony. We ought to live as Christians. The word Christian means Christ-like. We ought to live as Christ would live, without fear of ridicule. Without fear of ridicule. Oh, it may come. The ridicule may come. But we're not ashamed, and we're not going to back off simply because somebody's going to make fun of us. We're not to be ashamed of being a Christian. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, Christ said that they hated me, and they'll hate you. They hated me, and they'll hate you. Oh, they may call you a goody-goody, or they may isolate you. They may mistreat you. And this day and age is becoming worse and worse. We see it, the persecution going on in America as well as around the world of Christians. And Jesus said if they hated me, and they did hate Him, they said if they hated me, and they'll hate you. And can I just say, if you're not being ridiculed, if you're not being mistreated from time to time because of your morals, because of your Christ-likeness, then probably you're not living the way you should live. Let me say that again. We live today in a Christian environment where Christianity has been watered down to such a point that most Christians live a silent Christian life. In other words, you can't tell the difference between a Christian and someone who is not a Christian. You can't tell the difference between someone who says they're saved and those who claim to be lost, because their lives don't amount to hill of beans. Their lives are not matching up with what Christ would have them to live. They're silent Christians. You know why? Because they're ashamed. They're ashamed. They have fear of being ridiculed. Well, you don't drink. You don't drink. Won't you have a beer with us? And they began to make fun of you. Teenagers, you know, we see it all the time. You won't wear that. You won't listen to that. Well, why won't your parents let you go to that movie? Just because it's rated R. Or PG-13 with nudity in it. Make fun of you. Why won't they do that? And can I just bring it to an even greater plane than that? Oh, you really believe that a man can rise from the dead? You really believe that? And they make fun of you. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, today we have them say on TV and watch his name, and I won't go into that. I always get into a tantrum when I think about Bill Maher and some of the other guys. But man, they go into a rant and rave about us Christians and the superstition behind Christianity, and it's nothing but a fairy tale. And they call us bigots because we believe a certain way, and they say we're narrow-minded. Can I tell you this morning, the Bible's a narrow-minded book? When Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say He was the best way. He didn't say He was part of the way. He said, I am the way. And there's no way to compromise in that statement. There's no way to get around that statement. And for them to say, oh, you're bigoted because you believe the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and not through Allah and not through Buddhas and not through all these other areas. You know, all roads lead to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible's a narrow-minded book. It says you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His death, and His resurrection. And sometimes we shrink back and we say, oh, but you know, God is love and God loves everybody. Yeah, God loves everybody. Doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven when they die. Does mean that sin has still got to be paid for. It does mean that many are under the wrath of God. Listen this morning. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though they cry for tolerance, oh, listen, we should be tolerant of other faiths. I'm tolerant of other faiths, but you know what happens? They're not tolerant of us most of the time. It's amazing. As we think about being a Christian and living a Christ-like life, living a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ and not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and must remember that if they hated Him, they'll hate us, and we will suffer persecution for His sake. But can I tell you that God is simply refining us? Our goal as Christians is to be like Jesus Christ. Our goal is to be selfless and loving and kind like He was. Our goal is to walk in His steps and to follow in Him. Our goal is to be like Him, to put our minds upon others, to live a moral and clean life. And as we suffer persecution, as we suffer ridicule, God is just like a piano tuner, pulling on the strings tighter and tighter, fine-tuning us. Fine-tuning us. Every once in a while, I just get the urge to play the piano. And this piano sounds so much better than all the other pianos in the auditorium. I mean, in the building. So I want to come and play it, you know? When I play the piano, it's as if something comes a hold of me. And I can't just play the piano delicately. It has to be as hard as I can. It has to be, you know, just as hard as I can pound on the keys. One thing is my hands are a little short and stubby, and I can't reach all the notes very well. So once I get to them, I want to make sure I hit it good, you know. The hand stubbiness is my excuse for not being a good piano player, all right? Little short things. Can't be a good piano player without short hands. Maybe you can't. I don't know. But when I play the piano, I play it hard. And the one or two songs I know, man, I get at it. And you know, every time you hit a piano, every time you hit the hammer is hitting those strings, and every time it hits the strings, it's just stretching them more and more and more. And three or four times a year, we have to have this piano tuned and some of the other pianos in the building. Why? Because they're being stretched. How are they being stretched? They're being stretched by being hit. And can I tell you, in our own lives, we get hit day after day after day. But can I tell you, the fine tuner, He comes in and He just fine-tunes us. He just keeps stretching that and tying it back off and stretching it, tying it. By the way, one day the string will break and I'll be in heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I've just taken the illustration all the way to the fullest there. God is just fine-tuning us. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. And my sermon this morning is not necessarily deal with tribulations, but simply the ridicule and simply the things we face as Christians and those things, those are part of that fine-tuning in our life. Fine-tuning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, they hated me, they'll hate you. How do we conquer shame? How do we conquer this shame? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How do we conquer shame? I'm going to just turn to a couple of scriptures. In Romans chapter 5, and then look at verse 1, if you want to turn there. Therefore, being justified by faith, I'm glad I'm justified by believing and trusting in Christ. Justified simply means just as if I'd never sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the peace of God, but peace with God. We've been reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of the Lord. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience at fine-tuning, and patience experience, and experience hope. And listen to this. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. You see, Christ died for us. And we can conquer shame simply by thinking about what He did for us on Calvary. The hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Hebrews carries it even further and says that that is an anchor. That hope, knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for us, knowing that He gave His life for us, and that He entered into that Holy of Holies, that building built without hands in heaven, and sprinkled His own blood there on the mercy seat, the throne of God. And Him, having shed His blood for us, gives us hope. And that hope maketh us not ashamed. When we feel ashamed, and when we feel that thought coming into our head, and we feel like we are afraid of the ridicule, remember Jesus Christ who gave His life for us. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. I know we normally don't turn on Sunday mornings to verses, but just make these couple of turns here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Think about how do we conquer shame. We conquer shame through the hope of the death of Christ and what He did for us. And we conquer shame by remembering the Savior. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God is not one who gave us the spirit of fear. When you fear someone's ridicule, that fear didn't come from God. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, Paul talking here. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things, the ridicule and the suffering he faced. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the forms of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. As we think about not being ashamed, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What day? The day of His return. I know He's promised to return. I know that He's coming again. I know He gave His life for me and shed His blood for me and He rose again on the third day. I remember, and I have hope in the death of Christ. I have hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when I feel afraid, and when I feel that fear come upon me, when I think someone's going to ridicule me, I'm not ashamed because I believed and I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know what He did for me. I'm not ashamed. And by the way, I don't want to be ashamed of His coming. I'm not going to turn over there, but 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, hey, remember He's coming again. Jesus is going to return. Someday the trumpet will sound and Jesus will call us up. Those who are saved, those who are born again, those who are blood-bought Christians will be raised from the dead, and those who are alive and well will be called up to be with Him in the air. And one day, that day, we'll stand before Him in judgment, called the Bema Seat Judgment. We'll stand before Him at that judgment of Christians, and there we'll give an account. Why am I not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I know He's soon to return. And I don't want to be, John says, I don't want to be ashamed at His coming. That's the words he uses. I do not want to be ashamed when he returns. He's coming again. We need to be ready because we'll stand before him. Don't be ashamed no matter what comes our way. Remember that God is refining us. He's fine-tuning us in our lives. Remember the hope. Remember the Savior who gave his life and was buried and rose again the third day for you and for me. Remember the second coming of Christ, and we don't want to be ashamed of his coming. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? I'm going to have you turn to one more place. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Familiar passage to a lot of you, but just a reminder. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? Mentioned in nearly every verse I read a moment ago, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, he gives a definition of the gospel. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are what? Saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture." Paul says, let me remind you, brethren, what I preached to you, the gospel that I preached to you, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ died for your sins this morning? That Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins, that he died for us, that he took the wrath of God upon his body, upon himself there on the cross of Calvary, that the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that he took upon the iniquity of us all. For God the Father hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was sinless. But God made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ, the sinless Savior. Jesus Christ, who lived a life 33 and a half years without ever having a sinful thought, performing a sinful deed. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, yet he went to the cross. Yet he laid down his life. He said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. And he laid his life down on that cross. He placed his arms out. They nailed him to that tree. They took the tree and they put it up in that hole. And there Jesus bled and died, not for his sins, not for crimes he had committed, but there he died for my sins. He died and shed his blood for me on the cross of Calvary, that I might have eternal life. He said, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What gospel? That Jesus Christ died for my sins. That he paid the penalty for my sins. That he, God in the flesh, died for me. Then it says, not only did he die for our sins, but he was buried. Can I tell you that he didn't just swoon on the cross? He didn't just pass out. He wasn't a spirit. He had a human body. And he physically, literally died on the cross. He said what? It is finished. And he died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He was buried. Thirdly, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm so glad that he didn't just die and was buried, but that he rose again for me. In fact, in our text this morning, it makes it very clear that the gospel is the power of salvation. The resurrection proved his power, proved Christ's power over death, hell, and the grave. Christ's resurrection proved he had no sins of his own. The grave could not hold him. He had no sins of his own. You see, the grave is the penalty of sin. Death is the penalty of sin. What did it prove, his resurrection? It proved his power over death, hell, and the grave. It proved he had no sins of his own. But it proved that he paid for our sins in full. And once our sins have been paid for, death could not hold him no longer. Death could not hold him. He had no sins of his own. He wasn't under that penalty of sin. And therefore, he rose again from the dead, proving that he paid for our sins. Not just part of them, but paid for all of them. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Man, when I think that God, not sparing, came here to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died. You know, listen, he is great. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it, you ought to underline or circle the word it. It's referring to the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. It's just like putting gas in your car. I'm glad the gas is getting a little cheaper. It's like the electricity going to your hair dryer this morning. For it is the power of God unto salvation. What's the power of God? The gospel. The gospel, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power of God and salvation. To who? To everyone. I'm glad the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the Calvinists can say all that they want, but the Bible makes it very clear that He is not willing that any should perish. That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Jesus Christ died for everyone. He was buried and He rose again for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. To justify us. To redeem us. I love that verse. For He is the propitiation for our sins. The covering for our sins. And not for our sins only, but what? For the sins of what? The whole world. Jesus Christ died for was buried and rose again for everyone. For everyone. Aren't you glad that God is no respecter of persons? What if you said, well, I'll save everybody, but this color I won't save. What if he says, this nationality I won't save. What if he said, well, I'll save everybody but the rich people. I'll save everybody but this group of people or that group of people. Aren't you glad He saves everyone? If not, maybe He chose your group not to get saved. God is no respecter of persons, that He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That what? That believeth. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone that is baptized. Doesn't say that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that joins the church. Doesn't say that. The power of God and salvation to everyone that lives a clean life, that lives a moral life. Doesn't say that. The power of God and salvation to everyone that is involved in community service or lives according to the Ten Commandments. Doesn't say that. Well, it's the power of God and salvation to everyone who's better than their neighbor or lives better than the deacons. No. It says, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. Believeth. That just simply means confidence in. Confidence in. To have confidence in. It simply means to trust. The Bible, Paul makes it very clear that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of believing and knowing and confirming in my own heart and telling others that I believe and I know that Jesus Christ lived, that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. You're saying, preacher, you really believe that a man could be buried and he could die and he could rise again from the dead? I believe that because Jesus Christ wasn't an ordinary man. He was God in the flesh. He had no sins of His own. Yes, I believe He rose again from the dead. I'm not ashamed of that. I'd stand up in the halls of Congress and say, I believe Jesus Christ was dead, buried, and rose again for me. I believe it. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from the wrath of God. Listen, if one of my boys, if Micah was swimming in the river, let's say he found a part in the Red River that was deep enough to swim in. And he was swimming in that great and wonderful Red River that separates us from the Yankees. And he was swimming in that river. And he began to drown. One of the big catfish began to pull him under. And Daddy runs out there and grabs him and saves him from drowning. Listen, I saved him from drowning. I picked him up out of the water and brought him back to shore. I saved him from drowning. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation from what? Being saved from what? From the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sins. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That death, Revelation says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone. Doesn't matter rich, poor, ugly, pretty, nationality. To everyone that what? Believeth. Have confidence in. It means trust. I believe that George Washington lived. I can go read about him. I believe that. Confidence in. But I'm not trusting in George Washington to get me to heaven. I'm not trusting in George Washington to save me from my sin. But I am trusting and I have confidence in and I believe that Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. That He died, that He was buried, and He rose again, that He might save me from my sins. It took His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you believe this morning? There was a commercial recently, y'all seen it, where the guy comes in. There was one guy that's kind of big like me and another good looking skinny guy, and they hand out two parachutes. Y'all seen that commercial? One parachute, the parachute's all nice, and so the nice looking guy grabs the nice looking parachute. Then the guy that's kind of, you know, whatever, grabs the parachute that doesn't look so nice. The parachute's actually hanging out of it, and whatever. I mean, it's bad. And you see them, the last part of the commercial, they're up in the airplane and they're flying. And the good-looking guy has the parachute, he's fine. But the other guy, he's trying to stuff his parachute back into the backpack-looking thing, you know. You see, I have confidence in my parachute. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that He will save me and has saved me. See, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ because I have confidence in my parachute. I know that one day, the trumpet will sound. I know that one day, we will stand before Him. I know one day, we'll give an account for our lives to Him. I don't want to be ashamed. I put my faith and trust not in church membership, not in my good works, but I put my faith and my trust. I put my trust in Him, my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection. That is salvation. The gospel, the power of God, salvation to everyone that has believed. Are you saved this morning? Listen, you maybe have attended our church for a while and maybe you're just back and forth on making a decision, but do you know today if you were to die that heaven would be your home? Do you have, what are you placing your confidence in? Are you placing your confidence in being a good person or trying to live right or do right or join a church or your baptism or some experience, you may have had a dream or whatever the case is, and you felt like God saved you at that point. No, salvation is found through Jesus Christ. It's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Have you placed your confidence in Him? Have you transferred your trust from all of the sources of salvation, whatever that may have been, whatever you thought was getting you to heaven, you must transfer your trust from those things to Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation. And can I tell you, Christian, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Remember the hope that is set before us. Remember the Savior who died and was buried and rose again. Remember He's coming again. Man, we ought to be looking for the blessed hope. We ought to be wanting Him to return today. We should be able to look at our own lives and say, I wouldn't be ashamed if He returned right now. If I stood before God, if I stood before the Lord Jesus right now, I would not be ashamed. Listen, ask you the question, would you be ashamed if you stood before Him right now? Are you right with Him? Are you living a life that's pleasing to Him? Or are you living a life, a silent Christian life? Or do you come on Sunday mornings and dress up and, you know, sing the songs and do the thing, but the rest of the week you live like a heathen? I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed. How about you? Are you ashamed? If you were to think in the Bible about a story, an event in the Bible that would illustrate this, I think Peter probably is the best one. Peter there at the trial of Jesus Christ. And Peter said, you know, before they took Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter told the Lord Jesus, I'll never deny You. I'll follow You to the death. He even cut one of those soldiers' ears off. I mean, he was all about defending the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed. And Jesus told him before the cock crows, before the rooster crows thrice, you'll deny Me. Three times. Guess what? Peter did deny Him. Why did Peter deny being associated with the Lord Jesus Christ? Fear. Fear of what? Well, in that day, fear of his life. Fear of ridicule. Fear of what others would say and do to him. Can I tell you, how do we conquer those fears? Remember the hope, the blessed hope. Remember the sacrifice that Christ made for you. Remember the price that was paid for your salvation. Remember that one day you'll stand before Him. And Peter says, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before Him. I don't want to be ashamed of what I've done here on earth. Listen, I don't want to be ashamed of what I've done here. Paul simply says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad it says also to the Greek, aren't you? That's most of us. Let's all stand. Head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. Hymn 534.